Good morning. I'm Shelley Ryan in for Larry Mueller for this edition of Garden Talk. I am talking with Brent McCowan and Jason Fishback by phone, and we are talking about growing and starting a hazelnut industry in Wisconsin and the Midwest. We were going to answer your questions and respond to your experiences. You can get in line to call us. The 800 number is 1-800-642-1234. That's toll-free from anywhere you are listening, or you can send your question via email to talk@wpr.org. And again, we have Brent McCowan with us in the studio. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Shelley, and happy early spring. It's probably one of the most intense early springs that I think I've ever experienced in Wisconsin.
Oh, isn't this nice, you know, except for the snow coming tonight. And Jason, are you with us as well? Okay, I don't hear Jason through my headphones. That could be, I don't know if he's with us or not. Jason?
Yes, I'm here.
It could be we have a headphone issue with me.
No, I don't hear you either.
Nope, we don't hear him. But Jason, we're going to fix that. So I think I hear you way back in the background, so just bear with us till we fix that. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit about the hazelnut industry. Brent, my first question would be, why? I mean, what would be the importance of having a hazelnut industry?
That's a very good question. Maybe we ought to talk a little bit about hazelnuts in Wisconsin. Like, a lot of people may not realize that it's one of our interesting native nuts. And in fact, Wisconsin in the upper Midwest is probably what we call the center for diversity of hazelnuts. So we're actually the center of a native major potential crop. I think the hazelnut industry is very much a potential of a new crop, very much like the wine, mm-hmm. the grape wines we have, as well as something called Aronia, another new crop coming along, entrepreneurial, young new crops that have potential of developing to meet the local food demand, the health demand, and some of the higher diversity of quality.
Well, and I know that both of them are being talked about in sustainability issues
exactly
as
right.
well.
Very definitely.
That these are things that we can plant once. We don't have to plant a new crop every
right.
year.
Right.
So something very exciting to use.
Yeah, and they're all perennials, which means that we don't have to plow the ground up every year either.
Right, right. I use hazelnuts for cooking.
There, definitely.
Is there a market? Is there a big enough market, first of all, for us to want to create an industry with this?
Worldwide, hazelnuts are the second major nut crop of the world.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
What's
way,
the first then?
The first is almonds.
Okay.
Way
well,
above
then.
There, but hazelnuts are way up there in second place. It's quite interesting.
Is that for food or are there other
food,
uses?
Yeah, primarily food, but oil. It's oil as well as the
cooking
as the
oil.
Nut, yeah, as well as that. As well as the, when you do think the oil, then you have some leftover materials, and that can be used for feed or some other types of products also.
Okay. Okay. So definitely worth looking into as an industry. Yes. And because of they're hardy throughout Wisconsin, I should ask?
Some are. We have two major species of hazelnuts, actually three major groups of hazelnuts in the commerce. One is the European hazelnut.
Okay.
Most of that's grown in Turkey. And that supplies probably about 90% of all the hazelnuts in the world. It comes in that area. Huge, man.
And is that the shrub similar to our woodland shrub, or is that a tree?
That's a tree, more,
okay.
more of a tree form.
That's okay.
Right, exactly. That's what we call a filbert.
Okay, that's the filbert.
Kind of,
okay.
Exactly right. And then we have the west coast of the United States, which is concentrated on hazelnuts that are hybrid between the Native American hazelnut and the European hazelnut.
Jason, are you with us now? No, we're still trying to check headphones here. Okay, sorry, I still don't hear Jason. Hang on, Jason, we're still trying to fix buttons here, but sorry, I didn't mean to... Oh, I hear somebody hung up. We're still working on this, Jason. Bear with us. We'll keep... I didn't mean to interrupt you, Brent.
That's okay, no problem.
We're not growing the tree here in Wisconsin.
No, in fact, we're
growing shrubs.
We're growing the shrub one, and most of... In the United States, the major hazelnut production areas are on the West Coast because they established some of the hybrids between the shrub and the tree form.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, but they primarily grow the tree form, too. So the big potential now is to have a new native crop within the states, which is primarily the shrub form.
Okay.
And that would be centered in the upper Midwest, probably,
okay.
as well as the East Coast a little bit.
Well, my own experience is I'm growing, you know, the native hazelnuts in my backyard.
Right.
Beautiful, small shrub.
Very nice.
Yeah, great just for the woodland. When I've opened up the nut husks, there are insects in there. Is this a crop that we're going to turn into something we can market organically, or are there issues with it like that?
Very, very definitely. I think hazelnuts in general will need very little, if any, chemical applications.
Oh, okay, excellent.
But in large part, that also requires us to find very good, very high quality selections to grow. Now, what you have is a few of the native ones, which are, you know, quality may be questionable on those, but more importantly, you have so few nuts that every chipmunk and every squirrel and every insect pest says, that's where to go, Shelley's backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, we're very popular in the neighborhood. Jason, are you back with us now?
Yeah, I'm on the line.
Hey,
well,
hi
there. Welcome.
Thank you.
Sorry about the technical difficulties. Feel free to join in. We're kind of just talking right now about, you know, the difference in the different kinds of hazelnuts versus filberts. The ones we're all cooking with then are the filberts, mostly the ones we see in the grocery store.
Correct.
So what would we do with the ones you folks are trying to create this market for, or create the industry for, mostly?
Well, I'll jump in.
Please.
Filberts and hazelnuts are the same thing, just a different name for the same crop. In Europe, they like to call them filberts, and we've made a conscious effort here in North America to call them hazelnuts. So they're the same thing. The beauty of hazelnuts is they've got such a diverse potential for use. You can eat them raw, you know, and actually more than half of all hazelnut sales are sold in shell in the produce aisles of your grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
But then they go into, it's used as a flavoring, used as a high-quality cooking oil with properties similar to olive oil. It's used in baking and confections. And increasingly, we found out from the Fisher Nuts Company, they're looking to use it in trail mixes.
Oh, wow.
And that's where the American hazelnut or these hybrids that we're growing here in the Midwest may have an advantage because they actually are smaller than the European hazelnuts, and in trail mixes, that sometimes is a good thing. If you notice your almonds in trail mixes, they tend to be on the smaller side.
Okay, good point, good point. Well, and just to recap real quick, I'm talking with Brent McCowan, Emeritus Professor in the Department of Horticulture, and Jason Fishback finally joins us, Extension Ag Agent for Ashland and Bayfield Counties. And we're talking about establishing a hazelnut industry in Wisconsin. So your calls are welcome. You can call 1-800-642-1234, and or you can send your question via email to talk at WPR.org. And are you folks ready for a call? We do have Jennifer from Madison, and the topic is deer repellent. Go ahead, Jennifer. Oh, did we lose Jennifer?
I am from Northern Wisconsin.
Oh, from Northern Wisconsin. Hi, Jennifer.
And I have hazelnut trees in my backyard. They're more like shrubs that I got from my local landscaper. And I have been using a deer repellent that keeps the deer and the rabbits and the squirrels off of them. And I have had no problems for 3 years now keeping the shrubs growing and keeping the animals off of them. And I heard last week somebody mentioned the same repellent. It's called Plant Saver. It's made by a company called Cedar Creek Products. And I got it at my local garden center, and it just works phenomenally. I don't know if you guys have problems with yours as well, keeping the rabbits away and keeping squirrels away from eating the nuts, but that's the one thing that I have found that works really, really well.
Well, thank you for telling us that. And a lot of these repellents can be very effective if you know how to use them. And this, I've never personally used the Plant Saver product, but I'm sure going to try it because this is about the fourth time in the last 2 weeks I've heard about it. So. Thank you.
That's always a good recommendation. Thank you. Well, that's a question. If you're trying to grow these in large quantity and the deer are liking them, what are you folks – how do you deal with that?
Well, I don't think deer are a problem, but they're not the major problem. Really.
Okay.
What the major problem is are little probably rodents that really want to come and eat all these little nuts, chipmunks and those kinds of things, as well as occasionally some birds can come in and harvest a few of them.
Okay.
Situation. But when you're growing them in large quantities, you have to worry about if the deer are going to be there, you have to worry about the winter grazing on the flower buds and that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure. Otherwise, there are no nuts in the spring or fall either.
Exactly right.
Okay. And are you trying to encourage, in fact, one of the reasons we're talking today, are you trying to encourage farmers and is this more for farm crop or home gardeners? Are we looking at this as possibly a farmer's market crop as well, or what are you thinking of?
Jason, do you want to talk about that? Well, what we're trying to do is put together an actual commercial entity where we actually have some significant commercial production of hazelnuts. Jason, you want to talk about the
program? We're trying to do at the university level is respond to the needs of the growers. And part of it is finding out how many there are and where they are.
Okay.
Some of the initial survey work, we've found that there are growers in 32 Wisconsin counties, and the plantings range from anywhere from a couple of plants up to 10 or 20 acres.
Oh, wow.
Plantings. Our most recent data, we're up to about 83 growers with just about 40-some acres of hazelnuts. It's about 25,000 plants. And they've got some real challenges that we're trying to help them with. One is just how to harvest these things and process them, get them out of the husk, get them out of the shell, and get the shells sorted from the kernels, and also helping them with some of the agronomic issues. So they definitely see that there's potential here. There's demand that they're seeing at many levels, both kind of a wholesale demand, but also selling at farmers markets and food processors and that kind of thing. So if we can help them meet some of their challenges, we think that the industry's got a lot of potential.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, it happens to, I have to admit, it's one of my favorite nuts. So you've already got me on board. We have another call coming in, too. This is Jess from Vermont Township. And the question is how to make hazelnut trees more productive. Laughing is not good, Brent.
That's a good start.
I guess the answer to that, we have to know why they're not productive to begin with, what the problem is. But you mean that you have some plants and that you don't have a lot of nuts on them? Or,
you know, we just moved to Vermont Township from suburban Chicago last summer. And in sort of surveying, we have about, I don't know, somewhere between 13 and 14 acres. We've found a lot of wild hazelnut
correct
bushes, and they have these lovely nuts on them, and now I guess my wife and I are trying to figure out how to get more of them, and how, I guess another part of my question was, and I think you may have just answered this to the last caller, how would we fit into this niche market of hazelnut growers? Or potential hazelnut growers.
Right. I think if you keep them in the native habitat, that is in the woods, probably in a semi-shaded wooded area, is where you have most of them, you're going to have a very hard time competing with all the other critters that want to eat the hazelnuts. And there's probably ways to do that, but it's going to take an awful lot of your effort to try to do that kind of thing. So what we're talking about is actually taking the hazelnuts out of the woods or multiplying them, the good ones we have, bringing them out of the woods and planting them in actual large plantations. So and in that kind of situation, we can manage them a lot better and get the high-quality nuts.
What the growers tell us as well with the wildlife is that they seem to wait until the nuts are ripe, and then every critter from 10 counties away come to the hazelnut planting. So if you pick those a week or two before they're ripe and then finish the ripening in the barn, that's a great way, or in your garage, a great way to improve your yields. Another way that you can get involved in, and this, I think, for most growers might be the best option, is that's to become in some ways a hobby breeder. And you can purchase these hybrid hazelnuts, which are at this point all open pollinated. So every plant you get is going to be a little bit different genetically. And plant a bunch of them and then pay attention and collect data on them. What we've set up is an online program called the Hazelnut Improvement Program, where growers can enter data about their plants. So you buy, you know, plants from the nursery, and then you can record their height and their width. And you can record how much hazelnut you harvest from that plant, put it into this online program, and that helps us as growers and as the university analyze what's happening out there, and that helps find better or improved varieties so that you can get higher yields potentially. You can get or learn more about this program if you go to the website. It's called MidwestHazelnuts.org, and it explains the program and explains a whole lot about hazelnuts.
Excellent. Thank you, Jason, for that. I was just about to ask you to give that website. We are talking about establishing a hazelnut industry in Wisconsin with Brent McCowan and Jason Fishbach. And you can call in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Shelley Ryan, sitting in for Larry Mueller today. And this is Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back to take more of your questions, calls, and comments. And we have an email from Lynn in Viroqua. What equipment exists on the market to make it feasible to actually get the nuts out in order to market them?
Go ahead, Jason.
You're laughing again, guys.
Yeah, this is by far, from the growers that have got hazelnuts in production, their biggest challenge. And the processing works like this. You've got the hazelnut is surrounded by a husk, and you've got to take the husk off that nut. Then you've got an in-shell nut, and you've got to take the shell off of that nut. And then you've got to sort those shell fragments from the hazelnut kernels. There is equipment out there to do that. If you've got a couple $100,000, you can purchase it and go for it. And it's designed for a much larger scale of production. There are very small models, like there's a universal nutcracker and some other kind of things like that, that work okay, but they don't work well enough. And so what we had last weekend was a hazelnut growers conference, and one of our focuses was on hazelnut processing. And there are some of our larger growers in the upper Midwest have been developing some equipment that's the right scale, and it meets the needs of or the challenges of trying to crack these specific hazelnuts. And they're making progress, but we, you know, don't have anything off the shelf ready for growers right now. I suspect by the end of the year, there might be affordable equipment. The other thing that we're looking at is, as a group of growers across Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin, is some sort of a mobile processing unit, so that you can either bring your hazelnuts there or the processor can come to you.
Good idea.
And it's just one of these challenges that with any new crop you're going to face as it grows. The scale just isn't there yet for the off-the-shelf equipment, and yet without the equipment you can't grow the industry. So we expect growers are leading the way, and we're just trying to help out.
So recommendations to people trying to break into this industry right now?
I think the first thing to do is to become part of the network.
So we'll repeat the website again you folks. Jason, would you repeat that?
It's MidwestHazelnuts.org.
Okay.
And I would agree with Brent, is definitely go into this with eyes wide open and learn as much as you can, because we're not at a place where you've got an industry ready to go. You purchase your plants, you plant it, and you're set. This is where it's very much in development. Some great learning opportunities. There's one coming up. The Badgerset Research Corporation over in Minnesota holds an annual short course on hazelnuts. Definitely recommend that.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
You can find links to that information at their website, or you can go to the MidwestHazelnuts.org. There are permaculture folks that host Forest Ag Enterprises, host some permaculture workshops. That's a great opportunity. And then during the summer, both in Minnesota and Wisconsin will be holding hazelnut field days. So you can get out there and see these plants and see the challenges and see if it might be a good fit for you.
Well, and hopefully for people like me, sample recipes. My priorities here, guys. Okay, let's take another call. This is from Bill in Phillips, and his question is about hazelnuts in Price County. Any recommendations? Bill, are you there?
Yeah, Bill is here.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
I'm just wondering on soil selections, because where I live at, and I have land in Price County, there's different types of land types very close together. Mm-hmm. Where I primarily find the wild hazelnuts is in between the large swamps and the farmland, tag alder thickets.
Well, after talking to quite a few people that have grown hazelnuts for a decade or so, they're not that sensitive to any particular soil type. What they don't like is to have constant flooding on them. Now, they can be in wet areas, but they have to be above it where their roots aren't contaminated all the time with water. So I think they're pretty resistant to having being tolerant of various types of soils.
Does that answer your question, Bill?
That answers my question, then, is that any selection of soil would be adequate as long as it's not too wet.
Exactly right.
The ones I'm growing are in heavy clay in my backyard, and they're quite happy there. Yeah. So are the birds, the squirrels. one of my questions, I was curious, there was a newspaper article just recently about the hazelnut industry and again, your work to establish it. And they said one of the exciting things is that they can produce yields per acre that are double those of soybeans. So is this a source of protein as an alternate to soybeans? Is that why that's being brought up?
This is coming out of work that was done in Nebraska. There was about a 5-acre planting in Nebraska where they really did a good job collecting data. And the yields kind of got us all excited in terms of the potential. What they found is from their top-performing plant, so they're extrapolating to a per-acre basis here from their top-performing plant.
Okay.
But they're finding a double the yield from on an oil standpoint, so roughly 115 gallons per acre of hazelnut oil compared to a more standard yield for soybeans of, say, 58 or 60 gallons per acre. So from a biofuel standpoint, that gets pretty exciting if you think about the low intensity of production involved with hazelnuts. Now, that said, you plant soybeans, you get a crop that fall. You plant hazelnuts, you're looking 4, 5, 6 years out before you get a crop.
True.
But once it's established, very little tillage, very little weed and pest control, and they're fairly drought tolerant. So from a sustainability standpoint or a net energy return, hazelnuts have really got some potential.
Right, and considering my lack of chemical use and weeding and caring, it fits into permaculture because they just keep on going and they're happy. So can we take another call? We've got Janice in Madison. And Janice, your question is about hazelnuts in residential Madison to prevent buckthorn. Now, that's an interesting question. Go ahead, Janice.
Yes, I'm calling about the use in landscaping in a condominium area that is wooded. Woodland, and the buckthorn have moved in as we've trimmed up pines and hemlock trees that are around the homes on the common land. I'm curious about, as we clean out these buckthorn areas, we're needing to plant understory plants, and wondered if there would be any disadvantage to using it in that way. Along the roadside of our condominiums and in the open lands, except for the pines. We've just taken out several areas of the buckthorn.
I'm curious about
how high they are and if there would be a good use for that.
I think it's a very good idea. One of the big problems we have when we go through and clean out areas, native areas that have a lot of invasives, is that we disturb the soil and then we have a lot of reseeding of the invasives coming in. And so what you're talking about is trying to establish some kind of cover on that land, which would be highly competitive. It's not going to completely get rid of the buckthorns, however, because the buckthorns are very good at growing in heavy shade, and they will end up being taller than the hazelnuts probably. So you have to go through with some selective, cleaning out of buckthorns that are coming back. But it would be a very good way to reduce the amount of impact of them.
Throwing my own 2 cents worth in here, having done a couple segments with Neil DeBole of Prairie Nursery, we all know nature abhors a vacuum.
Right.
Planting something like the hazelnuts for your upper story or your taller plant, Neil DeBole is doing experimentation with planting wild ginger as a very dense ground cover to prevent teeny tiny baby buckthorn from resprouting below on the ground. So, a combination of things like that, basically to smother out the new seedlings is also a suggestion.
Right. Very, very true.
So we're talking with Brent McCowan and Jason Fishback about hazelnuts. And again, our number is 1-800-642-1234. You're welcome to join in with questions, comments, and suggestions. We have another caller. This is Judith from Washburn. Go ahead, Judith.
Hi there. I'm going to go with my third thing first because sure I get this in. When we bought this property on the Bayfield Peninsula and we discovered the hazelnut shrubs right away, we noticed that you can pick them in the fall. The first year, 1995, we picked them. There were a lot. And we picked a lot of them. And then I just started blithely trying to get the husks off with my hands. And soon I was bandaging my hands, and then I was using gloves, and I'm like, why are these guys not mentioning that they have those little needle hairs that get in your hands and you can't get them out? But I found a way to cope with it. So because somebody that just ventures into it like I do, you have a lot of little sticky hairs in your hand that you can't get off. So I asked the old man we bought this hunting shack from, and he said that he just takes an old pillowcase and then slams it down anywhere there's something hard, like concrete or a deck or something, and just keeps slamming it down. And eventually the husks break off and the nutshells sort of break, and then you just take out the nut meats. So, better than buying some fancy equipment, and you don't have to get your fingers all involved with those Yeah, so that's the pillowcase process.
I think we all invent our ways of handling this kind of thing. What we're talking about for the equipment is if you have 30, 40 acres of hazelnuts, and you're not going to do that all in pillowcases, I don't think.
Be a really big pillowcase. but it's a good idea because, the home gardener, I know a lot of us interested in permaculture are looking for things to do in our own backyard. So, just to supplement, our vegetable garden, too.
And if you go to any of the farmers that have grown hazelnuts for a while, you'll see that they all have their own kind of ways of handling these things in the barn. So,
right. Really cool. We all come up with that different
exactly
techniques.
Right. Really cool.
Is this, and I kind of threw this out earlier, is this a market, something that could be sold at farmers markets?
Sure. Farmers markets as well as very high-end local kinds of processors. For example, chocolate people are really after locally produced hazelnuts. And I don't know about you, but I'm a cranberry breeder, by the way. So putting cranberries, hazelnuts, and chocolate together, I just tell you, it's endless.
We're back to recipes for me. Yeah, this works for me. Yeah. Well, and one of my son and my favorite spreads is Nutella. And isn't that hazelnut and chocolate?
Exactly right. Yep.
I mean, that's heaven on earth. Okay, let's take another call. We've got Kurt in Manitowoc. And now he's interested in knowing about what he could earn doing this. Go ahead, Kurt.
Hello, yes.
Hi, Kurt.
Great program.
Thank you.
I was curious, if you were to grow hazelnuts, how many bushels do you get per, let's even reduce the area down to like a half acre,
sure,
we're talking a small farm, and then are they easy to sell at the mill or some other place?
Jason, can you handle that?
Yeah, at this point, this is why we're still early. We don't know. We have data from the top-performing plants, and so from Nebraska, it's about 3,500 pounds of in-shell nuts per acre. Now, if you just go buy a lot of hazelnuts, you're not going to get anywhere close to that because every plant's genetically different. So we, throw out a ballpark of 1,000 pounds of in-shell nuts per acre. Now, roughly 30 to 60%, it varies a lot, is shell, which you can't eat, but you can eat the kernels. But at this point, you just don't have enough volume to sell on a wholesale basis. So you're definitely, and it makes sense too, because your highest returns are going to be on any direct marketing you can do, either direct to consumers at farmers markets or through food co-ops or through direct to restaurants. I'll tell you, all the growers that I've worked with, none of them have ever told me they can't sell their hazelnuts.
Right.
What they tell me is they cannot get them out of the shells efficiently or fast enough and get them to market. And none of them have anywhere near enough to, say, deliver a truckload to a mill or whatnot. So they're delivering pounds at a time to direct to consumers. And you're going to do that until you've sort of maxed out your direct markets, and then you start looking for wholesale markets.
And I think we've talked a lot about, or mentioned a lot in this show, about the superior plants. And this is where we got to go. And everybody should realize that right now we're working primarily with a lot of seedling plant materials that are out there or unproven hybrids, et cetera. And we really don't have the kind of quality planting stock we need to really say, this is what you're going to get at this particular location with these many plants and this amount of acreage. And so that's the purpose of our primary program. And so anybody that gets into the hazelnut program right now is actually a very young entrepreneur in the program.
Okay.
And they're going to help then select these kinds of superior plants from which we can build a better quality planting stock.
What I like to tell growers is that you've got two options. You can either grow hazelnuts, and if you're going to do that, then you're going to be investing a lot of money, and your returns are going to be pretty far down the road. But you'll be a pioneer. But for most of us, you're going to grow data. You're going to grow information. And that's crucial toward developing the industry, developing the right genetics, the right cultivars, so that we can, once we've got those, then things will go fast. Now, on a small scale, when you're harvesting in a pillowcase, you can certainly grow stuff for your for yourself, and that's
sure,
certainly an option in a permaculture planting. But in terms of sort of an industry
right
standpoint, we're still many years away from this being similar to our other, cranberries or blueberries or raspberries, mm-hmm, something like that.
So it sounds like we're really on that crux. We can do it as a small scale farmers market for small stores. It sounds like the people want these.
Right.
So we do that, keep track of what we're doing, help you folks come up with the better producing plants,
right,
and we'll go from there.
Right. And another major aspect of the better producing crops and better producing plants is, say we have, you know, three or four selections of hazelnuts which are spectacular. You know, good okay. flavor, you know, high yields, all that kind of stuff. The problem we have now is how do we propagate or multiply those plants in a reasonable way so we can
get them out
in large, relatively good populations so we have some predictability and uniformity in their production.
Okay. Well, let's take another call. Sharon from Chetek with a question. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, good morning. One's a proposition and the other one is a little history. Proposition is, has anyone gone to at least three of our state universities, Madison, Platteville, and Stout, and mm-hmm. asked them to take this on as a problem to build a machine that can do, if we can shell corn, we ought to be able to shell hazelnuts, or husk them at least, which would be helpful. And I would think that that would be something that should be done. I don't care how small the business is. Would be a great challenge and would be good to come out of our state system. The other thing is a little history. I live in Barron County. And back in about 1948, I'm guessing, because I was pretty young then, we had cut off, the previous owner had cut off all the white pines. We had open acreage. And it would have been pasture, except it was solid hazel brush. And that's what we called it, and we treated it as such. Plowed it down, bulldozed it, and burned it. But they grew prolifically on sandy loam in the sun.
Right. Now, the native hazelnut, the biggest populations you'll find are in disturbed ground, and either disturbed ground in the edges of woods or even like you have, if you have a good seed source close to it, then you'll have it in open ground. So some of the best places to find a lot of hazelnuts are in utility line right-of-ways where they've gone through and cleared out underneath the utility lines, and you find a lot of hazelnuts underneath that. Jason, do you want to talk about some of the ways that the Mark Shepherd's been involved in formulating some equipment?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, the university has provided some assistance, students and others, and in fact just got a call from a fellow from UW-Madison that's interested in helping, and that's happening. It's slow, and it's a funding issue in many respects. One of the challenges that we face here, and this is true for all new crops, is that, and I think rightfully so, you've got to have industry support to investment of public resources into this new crop development. And yet the dilemma is if you don't have the crop, you don't have the industry to support the new crop development.
So it's a circle. You need the demand for the development.
Correct. So we're seeing that this very thing play out here with the hazelnut processing. As the growers get organized and become more vocal, then we're more able to provide assistance, and we're starting to see sort of things ratchet up. And we're not the only group, so we're part of the Upper Midwest Hazelnut Development Initiative, which is a collaboration between University of Wisconsin, Northland College, and University of Minnesota researchers just starting to help out. And we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the private pioneers, folks like the Badger Set Research Corporation, the Rudders, and Mark Shepherd, who have been pushing this for 15, 20, 30 years. But there's also a research team down in Nebraska now, also working on hazelnuts. And so there's this critical mass that's building, and that's what it'll take to invest more resources and more research efforts. And I suspect, you know, the growers have got some assistance with their processing equipment. By the end of the year, I think they will have some of their prototype models ready to go. And we look forward to working with them to help test them and put them out into production.
Excellent. So can I finally say this? This is really one tough nut to crack, huh? Sorry. Okay, I'll go now. Again, you're listening to Brent McCowan and Jason Fishback, and we're talking about hazelnuts, and I'm Shelley Ryan. Normally, I am the host and producer of Wisconsin Public Television's The Wisconsin Gardener. I almost forgot my own show there, and I'm sitting in today for Larry Mueller, and we welcome your calls. We've got another call waiting for us. This is Hank from Middleton. Go ahead, Hank. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I have a small Christmas tree farm up in northern Wisconsin near Hayward or mm-hmm. Winter, Wisconsin, and I was curious as to, will hazelnuts grow up there in that harsh climate, and will they be good competition for tag alder, which we have a lot of?
You're laughing again.
Well, first, the kind of scenario you're talking about is exactly what I think the future of these small minor crops are going to be in Wisconsin. I'm one that very strongly tries to promote, to increase and promote the diversity of agricultural enterprises in Wisconsin. And so I actually talked to a couple of farmers who have a combination on the same field of hazelnuts and then interplanting with another row of Christmas trees, et cetera. And so they kind of go back and forth. But I can see hazelnuts and blueberries. I can see hazelnuts and aroni. I can see hazelnuts and grapes, all these kinds of combinations. And so you have multiple products as well as multiple sources of markets, et cetera, to put this together. So I think you're thinking along the right line. Jason's up north right now in Bayfield, so he can answer the north question.
Yeah, we've started to do a better job of figuring out just where these hazelnuts are, and the more we look, the more we find. We know that, and we suspect that northwest Wisconsin is sort of the epicenter of hazelnuts in Wisconsin.
Really? Okay.
On the sands, in particular, the American hazelnut, but in the woods, we see more of the beaked hazelnut. Last year, we just started a project. We're out there scouring the woods looking for high-performing hazelnut plants, and this will be a multi-year project. Our partner at Northland College, Anthony Kern, is doing some of the genetic analysis to help us understand just what sort of diversity is out there. So we know the wild hazelnuts grow like crazy up here. The questions, though, in terms of the hybrids or even domesticated wild hazelnuts will be in our growing climate where it's shorter seasons. Do we have enough heat units to fully size and ripen a nice size hazelnut? We're trying to find that out. We've got some performance trials up in Bayfield County, just started. Just the first plants have gone in this last year. And over time, we hope to be able to answer questions. So when folks call, from Hayward, can I grow hazelnuts? How do I do it? Hopefully we'll have better answers.
Okay. Well, we'll keep going with this topic, which is establishing a hazelnut industry in Wisconsin. Our guests are Brent McCowan and Jason Fishback. And you're listening to Garden Talk. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or to join in, you can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Shelley Ryan, sitting in for Larry Mueller. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back with more on hazelnuts. And Jason, did I hear you mention a northernmost zone for hazelnuts?
Well, we know these things grow up close to the Arctic Circle, so winter hardiness on the American hazelnut in particular is not an issue.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's more of a question, just like with grapes. We can get hardy grapes. We can get hardy hazelnuts. It's just a question, is the growing season long enough to fully ripen the crop or grow a nice hazelnut? And that we just don't know, and part of that will be breeding.
Well, and one of my questions, is there any chance that this will overlap into the ornamental hazelnuts? For instance, I was dying to grow purple-leafed hazelnut in my yard, and I've now killed it, I don't know how many times, and I'm convinced that I'm definitely not zone 5.
Exactly. Well, I think I'll talk about the sources of hazelnut. We got the European hazelnuts, which is one species.
Right.
We've got the American hazelnut, which is another species. Actually, it's an Americana species. And then we have hybrids between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I'm very interested in is saying, let's really work with the American hazelnut, which is native. It's on site. We got all this hardiness. We've also got that beautiful marketing potential of saying this is American local product.
Right. Back to eat local, grow local. Sure.
And there's also some other characteristics to it that I think are quite advantageous. It has some very good pest and disease resistances, which the other ones don't have, as well as having this smaller nut and highly flavored nut size, which is very good for processing.
Okay, so the ornamentals play with as an ornamental, but you're not going to use it for the industry at all.
Yeah,
playing, Shelley.
I think most of your ornamentals have the European germplasm in them. That's why you don't have that good hardiness.
And no nuts, no fruit. That might be the problem I'm having. Well, let's take another call. This is Kathy from Stoughton. Go ahead, Kathy, with your question, please.
Hi, Shelley. My question is that I am more of, I would say, an urban gardener. And, of course, I have my perennials and I have my vegetables. But with nut trees, it's like, when I moved to Wisconsin, the first thing you hear, if you have a black walnut, don't put your tomatoes or anything anywhere near it. Is there any problems with hazelnuts growing a little closer to, say, vegetable garden or perennials or anything like that? Or, as far as turning the soil acidic or anything else strange like that?
I haven't heard of anything along that line. Jason, have you heard anything?
No, I haven't. The nice thing about a hazelnut from a nut crop standpoint is it's smaller, right? It's only going to get maybe 10 feet tall, maybe 5 feet wide or so. So that's nice. You can have a nut crop with taking up less space. The only thing is, though, you got to keep in mind it will get 10 feet tall or 5 feet wide, so it can shade out places you want to grow vegetables. But in terms of compatibility, I've not heard any problems with it.
And if one wants to keep it smaller, you can do what's called renewal pruning like we do with lilacs, et cetera, and keep it in much better shape.
Okay, let's take another call. This is Bill from Orford with an organic question.
Yeah, I just am closing here in a few weeks on a 40-acre parcel down here in southern part of Wisconsin, here, Orfordville, Janesville area. And this sort of interests me. We have organic potential there. Nothing's been grown on that chemical-wise for the last 10 years, so we'll follow that out. Is there any cross-referencing there between organic hazelnuts, or is that a possibility?
I think it's a very good possibility. The major problem you're going to have to learn how to solve, which is all organic growers have to learn how to solve, and that's good weed control. That's a number one. When I talk to organic growers, and I work quite a bit with organic growers, the a number one problem that they list is weeds, 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 and then there's weeds. So
sounds like my backyard.
And we do know from our survey work that a lot of folks that are growing hazelnuts don't really have an agricultural background,
okay,
and are sticking these in the ground and maybe not giving them the attention they need, and they're getting outcompeted by weeds or the rodents are getting them. And it's really important to just think ahead. Ideally, right, you can do your site prep the year before you plant and then think about how you're going to control those weeds when it's the middle of July and you've just had 2 inches of rain and the weeds are growing like crazy. You know, you've got to keep the grasses and other weeds down. So it's a big challenge with the hazelnuts. And like any crop, you know, you've got to keep the weeds down.
So, and like Jason, like any other crop, you know, usually we tell gardeners if you're going to put in vegetables, start the vegetable plot a year in
exactly
advance. Put in your compost, put in, you know, get the soil amended, not 2 days in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing then for the hazelnuts.
Yeah, and in fact, on smaller plantings, there's the old adage, do it nice or do it twice.
Yes.
And folks have gone to using landscape fabric and wood mulch and just saying, okay, I'm not going to use herbicides and I just don't want to be out there hand weeding all summer. And that's worked really well. The hazelnuts seem to respond just fine to it. So if you're going to put in 5 or 10 plants, put in a small row. I think that's what I'd recommend, unless you've got some decent background or experience with gardening and growing things.
Sure. So I think the proper use of cover crops as well as the proper use of mulch would be very easy to do in a smaller planting.
Now, do you recommend if you're going to use the wood mulch to make sure you're also fertilizing? Is that an issue again?
Usually wood mulch is not a problem. I have in class quite often to explain these kinds of things. Wood mulch is not a problem with lack of nitrogen unless you incorporate it in the soil.
There you go. That's what I want. Okay, good. Okay, we have a couple emails coming in, and they've been very patient waiting for us. Mary from Madison asks, she lives on a farm and has wild hazelnut trees, and are these okay to eat?
I don't see why not.
We're back to the pillowcase method, though. The challenge will be husking them, right?
And you have all that higher protein with the little worms in there, and you catch them, too.
Which is the problem. Is there, okay, because I have the same issue in my own backyard, is there something us, you know, home, backyard, casual gardeners can do about the little worms in our hazelnuts? The
Jason,
dog doesn't seem to be working.
I don't know. Jason, I haven't grown those with a lot of problems with that, so I haven't faced that issue, have you?
Yeah, it's a weevil that's in there, and you know, okay, we don't really haven't faced that challenge, so to speak. We haven't tried to figure out how to solve it. Certainly, there will be insecticide options, but my understanding is there's nothing registered for American hazelnuts, right, from an insecticide standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So part of it is just harvest early, and you avoid a lot of these predation problems. Mm-hmm. The other thing that folks will say is that the critters don't like to eat the weevil-infested nuts either because they're usually hollow or they're blank. So when you go out to pick later in the season, that's all you see are the ones with the weevils in them. And if you get out there early, you may not think that they're so weevil-infested.
Yeah. Well, for the home gardener, then what time of year should we be harvesting?
Yeah, you can go out there and when the husks are just starting to turn color, so it's not green, they're starting to turn kind of a reddish color. The other thing you can do is just shake them a little bit. And if the nuts are loose in there, rattling around, you know, then it's then it's time to harvest them.
And these are the beautiful ruffled husks on the outside that we're talking about.
Exactly right.
I always think they're very highly ornamental, too.
One of the things you might want to try to do, and it depends upon the life cycle of these particular insects, but more and more I see on apples and other kinds of fruit where we have insect problems, where they put little nets, little net bags around each one, and it'd be very easy to do with the hazelnuts where you have the clumps of nuts, and therefore the insect can't actually enter it and they lay the eggs into that nut.
But are you preventing any kind of pollination issues by doing that?
You do this after all.
After everything is – okay. Oh, that's a good idea. I'll go out there and in my spare time.
And the hazelnuts are wind-pollinated, so you'd probably even get through that little mesh bag, too.
Okay. See, I'm learning a lot here. This is great. We have another email from Jeannie. She says, I have an American filbert hazelnut. Will a Harry Lauder's walking stick, which is an ornamental hazelnut, will that pollute my filbert hazelnut?
Well, they potentially could cross-pollinate, but I'm not sure – I have no idea what the combination would be as far as the nut quality.
Okay.
I just don't know because it depends on the genes that are transferred. Probably you're not going to know the difference.
Okay. So we're still in a lot of new uncharted territory.
Exactly.
This is great.
Very uncharted.
Okay. Let's take another call. Brad in Gays Mills. Welcome, Brad. Go ahead.
Hi. I missed the early part of the program because I was splitting wood for our maple syrup evaporator. I apologize.
All right.
That's a good excuse.
Yeah. given the hassle of shucking and cracking these nuts, my question is, how long will a hazelnut stay fresh, stay good in the shell?
You know, that question came up at the hazelnut conference, and I think the answer was a good 6 months. You can freeze them as well. But as long as they stay in the shell, if they come out of the shell, then they start to go rancid.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive to oxidation of oils as far as flavor to me, and I find that if you harvest them and you get them in the shell, you should keep them heavily refrigerated, well bagged or frozen. It's even better. Otherwise, you have a few of them that go rancid, and then the whole patch gets bad.
Okay.
As I'm concerned.
As a cook, I keep all my nuts once they're shelled in the freezer.
Frozen, I agree. That's the easiest way to do it. No question about it.
They stay there. And also, then they're hidden from the squirrels, the critters in my house. Yes. we're starting to run out of time, but we've got time for a few more calls. This is Sandra in Racine. Go ahead, Sandra.
Oh, thank you. I have a really brief question about before you spoke about buckthorn.
Yes.
And the little plants that you can use that will smother out the seedlings. And I didn't get the name of the plant.
Wild ginger. It's a native Wisconsin plant. The trick is, however, you have to make sure you've gotten rid of the buckthorn roots.
Yeah.
Right. The buckthorn, and in fact, it's one of the few times where if you've got a big, you know, we're talking like thick buckthorn trunks, you may actually have to treat those stems with like a drip of Roundup around the outer edge of the trunk. You can't just cut them down. They will resprout.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've got that done, you can – Neil DeBole is researching quite successfully with using wild ginger to prevent all the little baby seedlings from resprouting. So wild ginger.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. And we have the phone lines are open right now. We have an email. Mike in South Range, how do the hazelnuts do in heavy clay and do they transplant well? I know, I answered this before. Brent is waving at me. My hazelnuts are in heavy clay on the south side of my property and I don't take care of them at all and they're great. I don't know how they transplant though.
They're reasonably fine rooted, so they can transplant relatively easily. If you dig them correctly. The problem with clay, I think, if you had any kind of a problem, it would be that the clay is also wet clay, so you'd be to get some moisture problems. But otherwise, you should be fine.
Right.
I grow on heavy wet clay, and it works great, except in all these drought years, that stuff turns to concrete
and
it cracks and it'll rip root systems.
Sure.
And I've had some plant loss because of that. But otherwise, they
okay. There you go.
I think the biggest trick I find is if it's a wet summer and I'm in my heavy clay, if I've overmulched, I need to pull the mulch away.
Mm-hmm.
So just being, again, aware of what's happening outside. And actually, we have it looks like we have the phone lines are empty, which is kind of great because it's a good time to sum up what we're talking about. Basically, this is new turf. Would you folks give the email address again, please, the website?
Yeah, it's MidwestHazelnuts.org, www.MidwestHazelnuts.org.
And that's where people can go to learn more, to become growers, all sorts of information about establishing this hazelnut industry. And we've been talking with Emeritus Professor of Horticulture at the UW-Madison, Brent McCowan, and Jason Fishback. He is the Extension Ag Agent for Ashland and Bayfield Counties. And Jason, you've been growing hazelnuts in Ashland County and have, 400 plants, it sounds like. We didn't even get into that. So you both have been doing quite a bit of extensive research, and I really look forward to hearing more about hazelnuts in Wisconsin. Anytime you guys want to bring samples back for me to help you out with, that's one of my areas of passion. I'm Shelley Ryan, sitting in for Larry Mueller today on Garden Talk. And also thanks to Dave Potrance, who's been my trusty engineer and pushing all the buttons for me, thank heavens, and to Rachel Owens. This program has been produced by Jim Packard. And again, you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.